Track 10, more news. More visitors urged to stay vigilant to theft. Police are warning the public to stay alert to opportunist thieves when visiting Dartmoor. Last week, members of the Ashburton and Chudley policing team carried out proactive patrols at Dartmoor National Park. While stationed at Haytor Car Park, officers engaged with visitors, offering crime prevention advice and putting up signage reminding people not to leave valuables in their vehicles. Police handed out "no valuables left" notices to drivers in a bid to deter thieves. A spokesperson for the team said, "With warmer weather arriving, we are seeing more people heading out to enjoy Dartmoor, and whilst great to see, it also brings an increase in theft from motor vehicles. Please take a moment to lock your vehicle, keep valuables out of sight, or take them with you and stay aware of your surroundings."
A decision on whether to turn a derelict building in Tynmouth into serviced accommodation is expected by the end of the month. Submitted by Cloud Nine Investments Limited, the application is seeking permission from Teignbridge Council to change the use of 1371 to 139 Bitton Park Road into serviced accommodation. The building has remained vacant for a prolonged period and no longer provides an active or viable commercial use in its current form. Members of Tynmouth Town Council's Planning Committee made no representations objecting to the plans. Teignbridge District Council are due to make a decision by April the 21st, if not before. The proposed development seeks to bring the building back into beneficial use through its conversion to serviced accommodation. The proposal utilises the existing structure and footprint with only limited and proportionate alterations.
Stone Me, rare rock find now on display. A mysterious blue mineral, first analysed by experts at London's Natural History Museum back in 1996, is now on public display in the museum's Minerals Gallery. When first brought to the museum 30 years ago by broadcaster and Tynmouth-based artist Anna Grayson, experts were unable to identify the mineral and suspected that it was new to science. Anna bought the mineral in 1980 from a roadside stall along a road south of Fez in Morocco. The stall's trader thought the rock to be lapis lazuli. A geologist herself, and noticing its electric blue hue, different to that of lapis lazuli, she brought the mineral to the museum in 1995 as it was holding an open day for people to bring in specimens for identification. Given its complex characteristics, a team of experts led by the esteemed late mineralogist Dr. Gordon Cressy spent more than a year analysing the specimen. The property is known as slickensides and is formed by movement in faults. In a sense, it's like fossil earthquakes recording a tectonically active high-pressure environment. It was not until much later that experts described it as erinite, a rare and complex carbonate-bearing silicate. Dr. Paul Schofield, principal researcher and a member of the team who went on to study the mineral's properties at the Natural History Museum, said, "It's fantastic to see this blue mineral back at the museum. It created such excitement when Anna brought it in during National Science Week. Erinite, meaning blue sky in Greek, was first named in 1876. However, the complex nature of the mineral meant that its structure was not officially determined until 2004 by a team of researchers in Spain. The largest mineral of its type to be analysed by the museum's team, the analysis of this specimen subsequently allowed experts to realise that other unnamed mineral specimens in its collection could also be classified as erinite." Anna continued, "The Natural History Museum has been an important part of my life since I was 7 years old, and Gordon Cressy was one of the most impressive scientists I have ever met."
Volunteers needed for Craft Festival. A call has gone out for volunteers to support one of the UK's finest celebrations of contemporary craft that returns to Bobby Tracy this summer. There are opportunities to help set up the Crafts Festival Bobby Tracy to help with customer service, ticket sales and children's workshops, as well as general stewarding duties. For more information and to apply to volunteer, visit the Crafts Festival website. The festival brings three unforgettable days of creativity, craft skills and community to Mill Marsh Park from June the 12th to the 14th. For more than two decades, the award-winning not-for-profit Crafts Festival has been a creative draw to the area. Since launching in 2004, the event has welcomed over 160,000 visitors to Bobby Tracy and has contributed to at least £25 million to the local economy.
A plan to manage the Teignbridge coastline between Holcombe and Shoreditch has been adopted by councillors. Members of Teignbridge Council's ruling executive committee have formally agreed the plans to mitigate future flooding and coastal erosion risks. Teignmouth Beach Management Plan sets out a long-term strategy to strengthen coastal defences. It includes recommendations to raise the sea wall and repair piles at the bottom of the sea wall, build a new groin field, and relocate the disposal area for dredged material from Spray Point to an area adjacent to Teignmouth Pier to help maintain sand levels. But work needs to be done to develop a business case to secure funding and licences for the proposals to be progressed. Any construction of new coastal defences is likely to be led by the Environment Agency, with Teignbridge District Council playing a key role as project partner. Teignbridge District Council Executive Member for Environment, Climate and Sustainability, Councillor Jackie Hook, welcomed the adoption of the Beach Management Plan. She said, "I welcome the approval of the Beach Management Plan as a crucial stage in applying to obtain government flood defence grant aid to enhance the current defence structures and protect the vulnerable areas of Teignmouth and Shoreditch from flooding and erosion risks."
Bereavement Support Group to launch. A new bereavement support group is set to launch in Newton Abbot this summer. Launching on June the 18th, the sessions will take place from 10:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Courtney Centre in the town every first and third Thursday of the month. Dorothy Martin is the driving force behind the new group. Dorothy, who lost her husband a few years ago and had been attending a support group in Teignmouth, this has prompted her to set up a group in Newton Abbot. She said it's for people who lost a loved one. We can meet up and do some work. It's a bit structured, but it's also social. It's about helping people move through grief, she said.